to the Adventure Mountain Pumpkin on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
Optimism's in no time low.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio. And I am here with an incredible artist that I just got her new music, and what a voice. She is incredible. And now I'm probably going to butcher her name because I forgot before the interview to find out if I'm going to pronounce it right. So she'll correct me if not. So I'm going to welcome to the show Megan Nadine.
Yes, Megan Nadine. That's right. You did it.
Wow. Like, you know, as I was starting, like, we were talking, okay? And then right after I hit record, I'm like, damn, I forgot to make sure I'm going to say the name right. So I'm like, while I was saying the whole intro, I'm like pronouncing it in my head. I'm like, I hope it's like this.
So you got it. Nadine is right. That's awesome. Thank you for having me.
I'm oh, really my pleasure.
Keep chatting with you.
How many people have screwed up your name now?
I've lost track my whole life. It's happened.
I bet you some will say like Nadine or...
Yes, know. Or Naden or, you know, all that fun stuff. But you did. I'm very impressed, actually.
Well, thanks. And I'm glad I didn't screw up your first name because, like, I was catching up on The Walking Dead last night. So I could have very easily, Freudian slip, said Negan instead of Megan.
That would have been an all-time new one for me, or low for you. Just kidding.
Yeah, totally an all-time low for me.
I'm just being silly. I'm sorry.
You don't look like Negan. You're much better looking.
Oh, I thank you.
Probably have a much better voice than he has, though, but I've never heard him sing. So, you know, that's just being judgmental. That's all. So tell us about, first of all, let's tell us about you as an artist. And how you would want the listeners to view you as an artist yourself.
All right. So me as an artist, I'm someone that loves to write, loves to create, loves to connect with people. And I actually was an elementary school teacher before I came down the road of being a music artist. And I decided to be a music artist in hopes that if I worked hard enough and I created a big enough platform, I could use it to, you know, connect with youth, like work with different projects when it comes to advocacy. And I'm passionate about social rights and so a lot of the social injustices that we see. And so I actually love to create and I love to connect with people. And so ultimately, I'm doing this to hopefully make a difference and to connect and touch people with my lyrics and with the work that I do that kind of is interwoven within my music.
I love how you explained everything you did, because the minute you said elementary school teacher, my mind went to elementary school teacher by day, sultry singer by night. Like that's, I'm thinking, wow, that's so typical. But then you were talking about the good that you want to do, and that is what impresses me right there. Like that you're taking your art to do something good, especially for children, because I don't know, the society we're living in now, children need it more than ever.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, it's funny. A lot of people don't know this now that I'm this far. I started pursuing music openly in 2017 when I just took the leap. And leading up to that point, I worked through a lot of fears. So I was never like a high school musical girl or someone that was singing in smoky bars or anything like that. I was very insecure. And what kind of pushed me to get over my fear was the idea of what I could do with the platform that I create if I did. And just thinking about the people that I could. And it might sound Mary Poppins, but I couldn't be more honest when I say this. I really just want to make the world a little bit better and easier for people who maybe don't have all the assets they need, don't have all the connections that they need, and maybe are overlooked or underheard.
I love it. And that leads right into one of your songs, Beautiful Things, which is, you know, from what I read, a reminder that beautiful things do come together when it's all falling apart. And that message couldn't be more appropriate ever in history than now, for sure. And I got to tell you, too, like I always say, if we look back to the 1918 pandemic, what followed the 1918 pandemic that nobody's talking about was the Roaring Twenties. So as bad as it may seem right now during this pandemic, maybe there's some definite bright light to look forward to.
I honestly couldn't agree with you more. I think that this time and everything that's been happening in 2020 is just, I believe in the universe and the law of attraction and all of that. And I think that it's a way that we're all being kind of tested in our own right and seeing how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, how just how we handle the situation. And I do believe that, you know, we all learned a lot about ourselves during 2020 so far, and be it good, bad, ugly, beautiful. And, you know, we have to have some hard lessons, some harsh truths, and some uncomfortable moments in order to see how strong we really are and how we can really rally together. And been, although a lot of weird, not so bright things have happened, it's definitely brought to light some pretty cool things as well, like community and just the sense of oneness, I guess, that really is out there amongst all the chaos.
Yeah, and, you know, think about, there's certain things I focus on during 2020 and everything that's been going on. So first of all, 2020 is the first time in I don't know how many years that you can see the top of Mount Everest because everybody was inside and not polluting the earth, you know. And then there's animals that are coming out of the woodwork, you know, that we're kind of hiding because of human beings. And then there's ourselves that, you know, it's almost like we've been going with this technology kick for a while where we're running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just like full speed with no breaks, no times. You know, like we were talking about before the show, people texting you at 3 a.m. for work stuff and, you know, things like that, that this was like a forced go back to before technology type of thing, like it, like where you could have downtime and where you could enjoy time with family and friends, you know, close friends at least. And you could just go to the beach by yourself and just chill with the universe and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah. I also think that because we were so like, that's all we had for a little bit when we were inside, right? Like we're so used to being glued to our phones and the technology side of things. Everyone was like binge watching their Netflix, and then it kept going, like the pandemic kept going and everyone was done watching their Netflix. Everyone was like maxed out on their cell phones. And it was like, okay, we were forced, like you said, to kind of just find things to do, like go outside and sit at a park or just hang out with family. And it really made us focus on what was important, let alone not only that, but just like the people that were like, I don't know, really struggling with everything that followed with it. It just made you look at how precious life is. I mean, a lot of scenarios in 2020, I think, have done that for me personally. And so I think that it's been a blessing in disguise. And some might be frustrated to hear me say that, but I just think a lot has been brought to light within this past year.
Well, I love your attitude because everything is a blessing in disguise. And I always view like things are bad that happen in your life. When you're going through them, they seem like they last forever. And then when you look back on them, they're like just a little blip in your life. Like there's things that seem like they lasted for 50 years that when you think back on them, they seem like they lasted only 5 minutes. And I think that also leads into one of your other songs, you know, Never Gonna Be the Same. You know, because we love to hang on what was, and, you know, I'd rather focus on what could be. I think this also holds very true. I think that song holds very true. The first thing that came to my head is relationships, because how many of us, you know, let our past relationships be an indicator of our future relationships and probably ruin our future relationships? Not only that, you know, we keep going back thinking something's going to be different instead of moving forward.
Yeah, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more, actually. And it's funny because I wrote that song, and when I was writing it, I was in such a dark place emotionally. I mean, I was walking away from somebody that I was in love with, and I really didn't want to. And I, at that point in time, that was kind of like a reminder and an anthem to myself, like, it's not going to be the same, Megan. Like, don't stick around and sit in a moment of what was, because that's not how it is now. And the series of events that have led you to feeling like you do right now are always going to be there, and you can't just go back and undo them. So how you're feeling right now, yeah, you can try and ignore it, but that isn't healthy either. And no, it's just important to accept that it's not going to be the same and move forward.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because I have a kind of thing about my personality, and I've expressed it to people that I was in relationships with. Like, there's certain things you can deal with, and there's certain things you can't. And there's certain things that, you know, somebody you're in a relationship can break that can't be fixed. And I've had experiences in my life where somebody was going to do something, and I warned them ahead of time. I'm like, listen, I know my personality. You do this, you know, and we will never, ever be the same, no matter what. And like, one perfect example is, one year I was with somebody, and then, you know, I made these major plans for New Year's, and then, you know, she was going to cancel the New Year's plans. And like, there's certain things that are important to you or whatever. And, you know, New Year's is like, I don't know, it has some symbolization to me because I'm that type of person. And I told her straight out, I'm like, okay, if you want, but if you cancel it, I'm telling you, in my head, I will never, ever feel the same towards you, because it'll be broken. Then maybe we'll have a relationship, but it will never be that same relationship. And that was so true. You know, and it happened, yeah. And it was true, because there are just some things you just, no matter how much you love somebody, there's certain things you just can't deal with.
It's true. And I think that a lot of the times we find ourselves in relationships, no matter how old we are, where we hang on to the idea of what someone can be, and just will deal with unhealthy situations that aren't good for anybody, emotionally, physically sometimes, you know, just abusive relationships. And I think it's important for everyone to remember that, you know, at the end of the day, your most important relationship is the one you have with yourself. And, you know, I spent most of my 20s in a serious relationship. And for the first time in this last, I've been single, I'd say for a year and a half, I know what it's like to show up for myself. You know, I'm always running around for not even just my intimate relationship, but like with family, friends, you know, I was just always running around for everybody else. And then, you know, now that I have stepped away and I'm living in a different country, I've kind of been forced to just focus on me and focus on my goals and focus on music and just my mind and my body and my spirit. And I just feel like I'm the same me, but just a better version of that. And if you don't have a healthy relationship intimately, you're never going to reach the best version of yourself. You know, like for first time, like, I'm not stressed about anything. Like, of course I have things that stress me out, but it's not outside factors that I can't control. And it feels so dang good. And sometimes when we love someone, we want so badly to be in that moment of bliss, or like, we hang on to how it felt when we first met them, and we just stick around hoping to get back to that. But what if you just let go of that and found out what it was like to be at pure bliss with yourself?
Those are amazing, amazing words that some people don't even get a chance to realize, you know. And so you're definitely a role model for many, because it is so true what you're saying, you know. And then you look back, and how much time did you waste trying to hold on to something that you probably shouldn't have? And we've all done it. And then, you know, people say, well, you didn't really waste the time. And like, you try to put a positive spin on it. But on the same token, well, maybe it did, because maybe better things could have happened if you had this relationship with yourself. And, you know, you said something that hit home for me, too, is I am definitely a people pleaser, which is why I like to do things by myself, because when I do things by myself, I don't have to worry about anybody else except me. If I'm with a bunch of people, I'll be worrying about them having a good time and not worry about me. But when I'm with me, I can do whatever I want, don't have to worry about it. And, you know, some people get that, some people don't. Some people may think it's weird, whatever, but you definitely have to have the relationship with yourself, because until you have that good relationship with yourself, you're never going to have a good relationship with somebody else. And that's how you'll attract the right person that will really treat you right, opposed to one that you're trying to mold into the person to treat you right.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, too, like, for a long time, I struggled with the concept that focusing on myself meant being selfish.
Yep.
And, you know, self-indulged. And it's funny, I actually came across something last night that said, you can't pour from an empty cup. Take care of yourself first.
Yep.
So, you know, focusing on you doesn't mean being self-indulged and selfish. It means that, like, if you are happy within yourself, you can spread that out to other people. And it'll have a positive effect, sorry, on your relationships and the world around you. And when you said earlier, sorry, just to touch back on it, that, you know, sometimes if you're in a situation, you're holding yourself back from being in a better situation. I agree with that. And in the same token, I think that everything happens for a reason. And mm-hmm. there were lessons that we were meant to learn while we were maybe in that unhealthy relationship. You know, they're like beautiful things come together when things fall apart. And I think sometimes we need those uncomfortable and not so healthy moments. We live through them and it gives us an opportunity to find out about ourselves, find out about what we will and won't stand for. And moving forward, we'll never deal with those situations again if we take it in and move in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that in the respect of, listen, we learn a lot more from the hard times and the bad things and we do the good things, in my opinion. And yes, we do grow and learn from it. And I find, like, look at who are the strongest people out there. They're always the ones that went through the most. You know, they're the ones that are strong. Why is that? It's for that reason. Now, I also add that it's funny because when I was married, I had a brother who was constantly in relationships, but he was always looking for somebody else while he was in a relationship. He couldn't be by himself, you know, and the advice I gave him is you're never going to find the person you're looking for while you're with somebody else.
Amen.
And so many people try. So,
which is so selfish in itself, like let that person be free and on their own and find their own place and space and person.
No doubt.
Like, it's such a cop-out.
Yeah, I mean, is it really fair to the other person that you just stay with them because you don't want to be by yourself and stay with them till you could find the person you want to be with? I mean, that's like the most unfair thing you could do, in my opinion.
I agree. That kind of makes my tummy feel yucky. I don't like that.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I think it's this time during the pandemic that we have that time, because we're in solitude sometimes and we're quarantining and all that, that we really get to reflect on ourselves, our lives, and make changes for the better. And without that outside chatter, because, you know, the funny thing is, you know, you were mentioning selfish before. Well, other people think we're being selfish because they're being selfish. You know, and people out there that they don't like it when we're trying to find ourselves, because that affects how we treat them and they don't get to manipulate us, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. And I think that, like, it's funny that you say that, you know, they feel like they're lacking, or I think that sometimes when something irritates us about someone else, it's usually something that, you know, we wish we had, or something that the universe is, like, presenting to us that we do have that, you know. I had a friend once that said, she was feeling super insecure. She went on vacation. She was feeling very insecure. And she's drop dead gorgeous. Okay. And she said she was surrounded by all what she thought were like beautiful women and felt very insecure. And then she was talking to someone when she was on this vacation and just kind of saying, you know, like, wow, the women here are so beautiful. It almost makes me feel like, you know, I have to work on me, and made a joke. And a woman looked at her and said, you're just as beautiful as everyone that you're seeing. Maybe that's the universe showing you your own beauty.
Wow. That's great words right there.
And so I believe that, yeah, I really do believe that we see other people in ourselves, good and bad, ourselves and other people,
yep,
good and bad all the time.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you know, it's funny you should bring up what you just did, because as a male who knows a lot of females throughout my life, and I've always been like, had more female friends than guy friends, I have found throughout my life that the most gorgeous women have always been the most insecure ones that I know. It's pretty wild how that happened.
Social media definitely doesn't help these days with all of that either, I can say.
No, it doesn't at all. You know, speaking of social media, it is kind of frustrating to see people like, you know, I was just watching something last night where they're saying there's people going out and getting surgeries so they can look like the Snapchat filters. And I'm just like... Oh my God.
Those filters are unhealthy, though. Like,
That's what I'm saying.
It's funny because you put them on and you're like, wow, I look great. And then you take it off and you're like, oh my God, But it's like, no, you're not. You're just looking at this, like, buffed out. Like, it makes every, like, your nose smaller, your eyes bigger. It's insane.
And I could tell you as a guy, I don't like them. You know, like, I'll go on online dating sites. It frustrates me because. There's a couple things that frustrate me when I go on these online dating sites. Like most of the women either have their profile pic as a Snapchat filter, and a lot of times it's like them with the dog Snapchat filter. And I'm like, why do I want to see what you look like as a dog? Okay. you know?
Oh my God.
and then I get now with the pandemic. Okay, so there's a bunch of women on the Snapchat, on the online dating sites, and this will be like their only profile picture. So if it was just like, okay, you're showing that to be cute, and then you're showing what you really look like, that's different. But the other one they do is wearing the mask. Like, why do I want to see what you look like with the mask on? It's not a fashion statement. It's a health thing, okay? And, you know, you're just like the person driving down the road in the car with your windows up by yourself with your mask on.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Maybe they're just trying to, like, subliminally let you know that... Hey, I wear a mask when I'm on public. I hope you do the same.
No, they're doing it like those are the people that aren't even wearing them in public. They're wearing them, you know, to do a selfie, you know, it's like, ooh, look at me. And guaranteed those are the same people that they walk into Walmart without their mask on.
Oh, my gosh, you are funny.
Let's talk more about your music. So. One thing I thought was really cool, okay, so for your new album, This Was Then, you have an EP booklet, and like, oh my God, thank you, because I miss that stuff.
Thank you for looking at it. I think that for me as a creative and an artist, I think that part was really important for me because there were so many people who created on the album with me, so many people I wanted to thank. All the lyrics came from my heart, so I wanted a place where people could go and actually like look over them and just see who left their mark on the album.
I love it, you know, because I come from a time where an album was an experience. Okay, you open the album. I'm not even talking CDs because CDs had it too, but you open the album and you would always be surprised what was in the album. It wasn't just about the music. It was about what's in the album. And then you would have the lyrics and you would have booklets like this. And you would just, I remember I would just sit on my balcony with my headphones on, listening to the album over and over again, reading every part of every lyric and every part of the booklet in it, checking out all the artwork. And it was a complete, total, full virtual experience, but it was real life instead of virtual.
Yes. You know, I actually wanted to have some albums created, and I didn't end up doing that just because with the pandemic situation, I just think it's easier to keep it online for now. But that's definitely important to me. I think that there's something really nostalgic about just listening to an album and pulling out the vinyl, putting it on the record player, and just like you said, going over the lyrics, and it kind of just takes you really deeper into it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally does. It totally does. Because listen, nowadays with the whole track mentality, people can't even listen to a whole song. And I think that's the reason. What you just said is the reason, because there's no other senses being used besides your audio senses. You know, and I'm like, there's three types of people. There's visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And I remember when I was in music writing classes, they said the way to write a hit song was you have to appeal to all three of those people. And the funny enough, the example they gave of the perfect song that matches that was Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. And now knowing that, if you go back to that song, like the first verse appeals to auditory people, the second verse appeals to visual people, and the third verse appeals to kinesthetic people.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to it.
And yeah, and see how it progresses in the song. Because
awesome.
If you understand those three types of people and what they need, like I tend to be a visual person. So, you know, to me, the whole idea of looking at your booklet while I'm listening to your music gets my attention. Then an auditory person doesn't need that booklet. They just need to hear it and listen. The kinesthetic person needs to feel it. And that's why if you take every major hit song, it has all those senses involved.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I'm going to have to start looking into that.
There you go. Now I'm teaching the teacher.
Smooth.
You like that?
Yeah.
So what else do you want to tell us about the new album and your music and that we haven't covered already and the listeners need to know?
When it comes to my new album and my first album, actually, I just want people to know that these songs came from a place that were honest and real and vulnerable. And I hope that when they listen to them, they can feel what I was feeling when I wrote them, and they can kind of just genuinely take it in and help paint the story in their head when they listen to it. At the end of the day, I just want people to feel related to and connected to. And, you know, before sharing these songs was so terrifying because, I mean, I always joke saying it's like singing my journal entries, hoping people don't think I sound like crap. And that's really what it comes down to, is like me singing about things that I've genuinely experienced and felt. I'm not writing these things because I think it'll sound good or because I think it's what someone wants to hear. It's a way for me to genuinely kind of cope and make sense of a lot of the things that I've experienced. So if I can even just connect with one person that hears one of the songs and thinks, oh my God, like I'm not the only one, or oh my God, this just feels, I've been there, then I've done what I've set out to do. And yeah, I'm just excited that it's finally out there. These songs have existed for anywhere from 2 to 3 years, with the exception of The Joker, which is a year old now. And that's why I actually titled the album This Was Then, because when I listen to these songs, they take me back to the moments I was in when I wrote them, and I'm in a very different place now. And so I'm very grateful that I'm able to share these songs with everyone.
I love it. And I'm going to say, too, mission accomplished, because you reached me. So there, you got your one.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. And I'm sure you reached a lot more, and all our listeners will dig you as much as I do. Why don't you tell everybody how they can connect to you on social media, get your music, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Okay, so you can, if you go to my website, Megan Nadine, MEGANNADIN.com, it'll bring you to all my social handles, but it is at Megan Nadine on Instagram and at Megan Nadine Music on Facebook. I have a YouTube at Megan Nadine. And I just think going to my website would be the easiest. You have access to the digital booklet. You have access to how I ended up on this journey and just to all the social platforms. So it makes it a lot easier that way.
I also love in your booklet, because I'm a motivational speaker as well, and I love the one during Beautiful Things where it has the big sign that says never quit, because that's totally my mantra.
Oh my gosh, you have to hear the cool story behind that.
Let's hear it.
I believe in seeing signs from the universe all the time. I mean, I've made it this far in my journey by just following the signs and trusting and having faith. And I, especially as someone who was so insecure at the beginning of my journey, and I was on the phone with an old friend of mine, and I was just talking to them about how I was feeling kind of discouraged, you know, and there are so many uncertainties in this business. And I was just feeling a little discouraged that day and unsure, not even discouraged, but unsure. And it can be scary. And they said to me, you know, you've made it this far. don't forget how far you've come. Like, you can't quit now. Don't you quit. And as I pulled around the bend, that billboard was there. It was red with black writing. And it literally, right as he said, like, you know, don't quit. Like, you can't quit. Don't give up. I see that billboard. And I was so taken aback by it that I actually, like, turned around. Like, I drove by it, turned around, pulled over, and took a picture of it. Because I just thought, wow, the timing of that couldn't have been better. And, you know, like the universe, we are all really connected. Everything is made up of energy. And once you start paying attention to the signs, oh my gosh, it makes life fun because you kind of feel like you're being heard, you know? And it was a really cool moment. So I snapped a shot and I ended up putting it on the booklet, the digital booklet.
Love it. I love the story. I love hearing things like that. And that is definitely the universe speaking to you.
I mean, I might sound crazy, but yeah, I think so too.
Well, you're not the one sounding crazy because I'm the one that said it. So there, I took the blame for you.
You're awesome.
One last thing before I let you go, and yes. It's going to be totally nothing like the rest of the interview.
Okay.
Well, on your website and your picture at the top.
Yes.
Are those your real eyelashes?
Yes, all except for the two. There's like a few at the ends, the corners of my eyes, but those are my eyelashes and my eyes.
I love to throw that like outfield one there, but actually the reason I say it is because I hate the trend going on right now with everybody with these fake eyelashes because they look terrible, and your eyelashes look absolutely awesome.
Oh, thank you. But don't hate. Like, everyone has their own thing.
Not hate. I don't mean
it's
hate.
It's just your opinion.
It's
true. I mean, like, I get it. There are some that are a little crazy, but if they're done tastefully, I think that they can be almost addicting.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess hate was a strong word. I don't think they look good. And yes, it's just my opinion.
I'm sorry. I just have people in my life that do get them and they're beautiful. And I know that there are beautiful people out there that get them. So I need to like stand up for them.
Well, one of my closest friends, that's what she does for a living. So,
okay.
So,
you know what? I was addicted to them. I went on a vacation. I got them because, you know what? They're so convenient. So you don't have to wear mascara. You kind of just go without makeup on and you still feel like you have it going on. And they become addicting. And then they kind of started ruining my eyelashes. So I stopped getting them a few years ago now. And yeah, I definitely could see what makes them appealing to people. They're just so convenient.
But you do have amazing.
It's like you could roll out of bed and your beard was just shaved every day.
Well, that would be kind of cool. Because that's a pain in the ass.
Right? And it's a pain in the butt to put on like mascara and stuff sometimes. I mean, so it is, I think it's a convenience thing. And I'm telling you, maybe try and get yourself a pair of fake eyelash extensions. And you might change your mind.
Yeah, no, not me. I did, right before the interview, I did come from the hair salon though. So I was at the hair salon for like 3 hours for your audio interview. I had to look good for your audio interview.
So funny.
But seriously, though, your eyelashes do look like on point perfect. So your eyes, too. But I just had to point that out because I had a feeling they weren't the fake ones. So I wanted to give everybody assurance. See, you do look beautiful with your own natural eyelashes.
Thank you. But there are a few extensions on the corner, so I cannot take full credit for the full lash.
Oh, well, you kind of ruined it now for me.
Well, hey, there's literally like two or three. Nothing crazy. They are my eyelashes. I'm just being silly with you.
I know. Nice. All right.
We're having too much fun now.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. So, unfortunately, I have to end the fun because I have another interview I have to do a minute ago. And there you go. So, are there any final words you want to leave our listeners with?
Yes. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other. And self-love and self-worth goes a long way. And, yeah, you are worthy and you are enough just as you are. Without the eyelash extensions, without the filters and all that. At the end of the day, it's all about how you feel on the inside. And when you feel good on the inside, that beauty ends up glowing through and showing on the outside.
Absolutely. Great words and phenomenal voice, phenomenal music. Thank you for bringing it to us. And thank you for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a really great time chatting with you.
Well, that always makes me feel good because, you know, a lot of artists, this isn't the fun part of the job. So that's why I like to make it fun.
I always love connecting with people, but you definitely made sure we had a good time. So I appreciate it.
Well, there you go. So I reached my mission. You see this interview, you reached your mission and I reached mine. Beautiful thing. And now all the listeners have to reach theirs by getting your music.
Yes, on all platforms. You can find it everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipeman on W4CY Radio.